Welcome to Radio Survivor. We're here for the love of radio and sound. My name is Eric Klein.
And I'm Jennifer Waits.
And on today's show, we are celebrating radio around the world. We're talking about wireless, which is a 24-hour, 24-station broadcast happening on August 27th, 2020. It is a collaboration of RadioEE.net, which is presenting an online translingual 24-hour broadcast about planetary wireless. This event is being held on the 100th anniversary of the first broadcast in Argentina and the first mass public entertainment broadcast in the world. Jennifer, you put this episode together. This was so much fun.
This is exactly up our alley because I think we're learning about all of these fascinating segments that are going to happen on this broadcast that are all around the idea of wireless in like the pragmatic sense, but also in the sort of ephemeral, philosophical sense. What is wireless? What is the history of radio? So, I you know, as we're enjoying the conversation and the episode, it makes me think of so many different ways, so many different future episodes of Radio Survivor, where we could explore all of these topics that are part of this 24-hour broadcast involving participants from all over the world in different languages. I think it's really an amazing undertaking to kind of examine. I mean, and really, it's what we do on Radio Survivor is understanding, taking a look at the idea of radio from a lot of different angles and perspectives.
Yeah, today's guests on Radio Survivor are three of the co-founders of this collective of radio producers, of artists from RadioEE.net. And they really approach radio from a very copacetic viewpoint here on Radio Survivor, the idea of it being a global meeting place for our ears to hear each other's voices, but also to hear the sound of wind in each other's cities. I like how today's episode really does, and what Radio EE is planning for their special broadcast that we're talking about today, how it really wraps its arms around the entire spectrum of what's possible on the radio and why we love both hearing voices, but also transmission arts. So I'm really glad to bring this interview to the listeners today.
On August 27th, 2020, an audio event called Wireless will be broadcast across the globe, celebrating the 100th anniversary of a historic radio transmission in Argentina. Working with collaborators from many different radio stations, the founders of RadioEE.net join us today. Welcome Stephanie Sherman, Agustina Woodgate, and Hernan Woodgate to Radio Survivor.
Hola. Hi.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us from Miami and London. So we have quite the global crew here today, including myself in San Francisco and Eric Klein in Portland, Oregon. So Stephanie, I wanted to start by just asking what RadioEE.net is.
So RadioEE.net, or Radio Espacio Estación, Radio Space Station, is a nomadic online translingual radio station hosting broadcast events about mobility and movement, often while on the move.
That is quite fascinating. And I mean, it's been fun to sort of dive into what that means. It seems sort of mysterious. I know in the past you've done events from cars, semi-autonomous vehicles, and from, I think, boats maybe out in the water. Maybe before we get into that, what's significant about the name? Why Radio Space Station?
I mean, I think the idea was that we weren't going to have a locality. We were more thinking about how radio in airspace could show up, a radio could show up in different places and then kind of land and be quite situated. And so, you know, we do these 24-hour marathons in places all over the world. And so much of it has been about being in a really specific location, getting to know the people there, working within that location with the resources we have on the, like with a different kind of vehicle that's specific to that location every time. And so every broadcast has been incredibly unique. But then we pick up and go somewhere else.
So Agustina, can you tell us about Wireless? What is that event that is happening on August 27th, 2020?
For sure. So we were supposed to be in Buenos Aires. Let's start there.
The idea of this broadcast in this specific day is because, as you mentioned, it's the celebration of this very historic broadcast that happened from the roof of a theater in Buenos Aires, which is where Hernán and myself grew up and from where we're from. We thought it was quite an amazing, fascinating mini snippet of the story of radio that turns out that happened in our hometown. And so this time
was... Yeah, can you tell us? Yeah. Tell us more about that snippet. What happened on that day?
On that day, three Italian guys broadcasted with a smuggled Marconi radio equipment the first entertainment transmission in history. What this means, it was the first radio transmission that was actually programmed for an audience, for entertainment. And it was Wagner's opera, Parsifal, is that how you pronounce it?
Parsifal?
And, thank you.
And Wagner, but you don't need to know how to pronounce it.
Well,
really. It's okay.
This is a great part of our radio, just also in between parentheses. We are multilingual, así que hablamos en un idioma, hablamos el otro, and we go by, and it's chill. Everyone, don't need to freak out if you don't understand. You just need to relax. So we do a lot of mistakes in pronunciation and we learn in practice.
Augustina, you just said the radio transmitting equipment was smuggled into Buenos Aires 100 years ago. Why?
Correcto. Because, well, at that moment, the only way you could broadcast was if you actually had a Marconi equipment. Marconi had the monopoly of the airwaves, really, because he was the only one who was producing the transmitters and the receivers. So these Italians had found a way to get their hands into this transmitter, brought it to Buenos Aires, and created a contraption together with the help of the acrobats that were part of the circus of El Teatro Coliseo, that was not a theater then. It was actually a historic circus, very important in the Haitian history, community, immigration that was in Buenos Aires. It's like a very entangled story, right? But the point is that they used this location because they needed the help of the acrobats to climb as tall as they could in order to put the antenna. Unfortunately, that broadcast was only heard by only 22 families because only 22 families had a receiver back then. But it was a very important moment, I think, and for us it called our attention, this sort of shift between radio being a military tool to actually becoming the beginning of a mass media channel for communication and entertainment for society in general. Why wireless? Because this marks also the first wireless communication in history in this manner. Everything that is wireless is running on radio, but just not many people make the connection of wireless and radio. Typically, we think about a radio as an old FM, AM machine or the car. But in fact, our routers are using radio waves. Our cell phones are using radio waves. Every autonomous vehicle and the future of the Internet of Things will run on radio waves. So the idea here is to start at that moment in time on August 27 and move from the past into the present, into the future, and opening up what wireless really means. From different angles, this will happen from the voices of engineers, architects. What else? We have all sorts of different flavors in here. Historians, urban planners, a bit more political angles. I am really over the moon about the ITU also joining the broadcast. So we're going to have someone from the actually International Telecommunications Union coming to talk about spectrum allocation and these kind of things. So it should be a very rich transmission. And of course, intermingling all sorts of experiments on sound and actually taking the medium of wireless as a place to explore to sonify it. Musicians as well, of course, most of them live. And all our broadcast typically happens live also, as Stephanie was mentioning before. We like to bring all our guests live.
I was curious, Hernán, could you talk about originally, there was a different idea for how wireless was going to be transmitted. And with the pandemic, I'm assuming that has led to the current version of what your plans are. Maybe talk a little bit about the original plan and how it's evolved.
Well, the original plan was the three of us to go to Argentina and actually, as Agustina just said, go to the roof of the Coliseo and just pretend to be all of those guys and me pretending to be the clown climbing and putting the antenna. I would be that guy.
Nice.
But obviously, this year we cannot go anywhere. So we decided to go. We were experimenting about different ways of do transmission without being on the site, because we never know what would happen. And well, this happened, and we already had a solution before, but we didn't know about it. So we decided to use it. This system was supposed to be used on a different broadcast. But, you know, why not use it now, which seems to be the perfect time to use it. And so we mutate to what is actually leaving everybody now, no? Just being at our houses or whenever you can be and just do radio or broadcast or connect with us that way. So we have different ways. What we are we connecting to different people all over the world. And I think this is the most interesting part of it, that we are using almost all of the wireless systems that are now on the net. Like, we are going to be using WeChat, WhatsApp, Zoom, different multi-ports, phone calls, WhatsApp calls, people coming into our streams. We have many different ways so people can come and stream with us. And I think that represents a lot of what wireless, what the name of the show is, actually. And I think it also goes a lot of the actual situation of the world. And we are broadcasting with everybody all over the world. And it's a coincidence or not that we're all in the same situation right now. And it's great that we are all able to be there the 27th. Before we couldn't have everybody there. Now we can. So I think that's also amazing.
And you're working with some radio stations. Is that something that has happened in prior? I know that RadioEE.net has done a whole bunch of interesting 24-hour broadcasts over the years. So have you collaborated with other radio stations before?
Yeah, so usually our broadcasts are super local, right? We're like kind of obsessed with insisting that we feature local music wherever we are and local sound and only local voices. And of course, they're multilingual. And then we always partner, because we're an online station, we always partner with like a terrestrial radio station or at least an online station that's situated in the place where we are. So in that sense, we often partner with other radio stations. And then we have been slowly building a network of people that are rebroadcasting globally, but it was always like not the focus. It was kind of like, oh, well, we're friends with Radio Relativa in Madrid and Pub Radio in Amsterdam, and maybe they'll reshare the stream because like they have a channel that's activated when it's activated. But like an addendum to the story, Ernie, which I don't even know if you were like deep part of the conversations with August and I at this point, but we had always wanted to be thinking about how to bring in all of these other radios because it's a 100th anniversary and we never like celebrate anniversaries or anything. So that's already weird for us.
I remember that from the World Cup idea.
Yeah, but then we were like, well, it doesn't make sense with our concept, because why are we in Buenos Aires if we're like bringing in all these radios and meanwhile we're on the roof? And so like it sort of forced itself this way.
I would add that, as Stephanie was saying, we typically do partner with other radios. This time is not only a partnership, but the radios are our guests. And that is the first time that we actually made the radios guests. So instead of having locals, because there is no locals anymore now, everyone is a local in the internet. And perhaps that's the premise of like, okay, we're all here. We're all here together. And so... we, of course, are allowing them each one to use their own language. So this would be by far the most multilingual transmission we have done, which I'm super excited about that part.
Yeah. How many, what are the different languages that will be represented this year with wireless?
Well, we need to open up the sheet to answer this.
I think so.
Oh, wow.
We actually go all over the world, globe. We, if you look at our map, everybody who's collaborating with us, I think we are almost all over.
We are. We have.
I want to add something about like like you said, we usually collaborate with other radios, and I think there is something very particular about RadioEE.net is that when we do a broadcast, we usually leave with friends and like our guests and our co-workers or everybody. We keep in touch with all of these people and. We reach you, everybody, first. But then we realize also that it's not enough, first. Secondly, like Stefo says, maybe they don't fit. And also, we also want to expand our network. And I was talking to the girls yesterday, how you start talking with someone and you all of a sudden get personal and you continue the conversation after you already did the, I was doing a sound test with a guy that I just met. And we end up talking for like an hour about his grandma or whatever. And then I think one of the things that I really love about Radio E is that thing that every show we expand our network and we collaborate with more radios and we learn from the radios a lot and we learn from the rest of the guests so much.
Okay, I have a list of our languages. Some of them I cannot even pronounce. You ready? Of course, English, Spanish, French, Portuguese, Mandarin. Then I have a mix Pakistani and a mixture between Pakistani and English that is called Urdu. Mm-hmm. Then we also have Mapudungun, which is a dialect, I believe, from a community in Acre, in the Amazon jungle. These are some of the few that I have here. Yeah. Oh, Slavic as well. Arab as well.
And so we're talking today with, that's the voice of Augustina Woodgate. You just heard from Hernan Woodgate, and we also have Stephanie Sherman on the line. And we're talking to them because they are planning, as we speak, a 24-hour broadcast on August 27th called Wireless. So many languages. What are they all going to be talking about?
Yeah, I get our theme is kind of planetary wireless, right? So in some ways, we're building off this moment in history, but then taking up what does wireless mean to us today? And so sometimes that is from a technological angle. Sometimes that's from an urbanistic angle. Sometimes that's from like a meta radio angle. What does it mean to make radio at this moment in time? What does it mean from like the spectrum allocation, resource management, all these kinds of things, 5G technology. It also means fun things because we're here for 24 hours, people. So it means things like we have some tightrope walkers who are going to speak to the urban acrobatics inspiration. We have a segment called Bats, Bees, and Butterflies. So thinking about insect communication, also wireless. So maybe usual and unusual approaches to the theme.
I'm particularly excited about telepathy. The segment in Bratislava took on the topic of wireless telepathy as wireless communication. super excited about that.
Say more about that. Say more.
I am a huge believer, Eric, here. I'm a huge believer here about telepathy and our inability to exercise it just because we have too many devices that are mediating us. But I believe that we are. I mean, think about it this way. There are two organs in our body that are working with electric impulses, our brain and our heart. So we already have the electricity inside of us. And radio waves happen when you electrify photons, right? So then that, it's pretty much, it would mean that we do have the capacity to electrify these photons through thought. I mean, quantum physics starts to talk about this, right? And we read a little bit with Stephanie, well, a little bit, not quite a lot actually, about some experiments the Russians were doing early in the century and how that was sort of like almost kept aside from science, calling it pseudoscience, but I believe to just shut it down. A lot of this has never been translated also, so it's still in Russian, perhaps also a way to keep this information safe, I would imagine. But it was interesting also that the guys from Bratislava took on the topic right away. I mean, they know.
Well, it's funny because Radio Survivor, I mean, we've done 260 episodes celebrating the history of radio and the culture, and a handful of those episodes have been about the magic of radio, and there's actually been there's a really fun one that I know Jennifer's
radio
thinking of
mind.
Right now. Yeah, where we dove really deep mind. Into a... like a religious philosopher who was into radio, but also, was kind of like just building his own mythology around what was possible with radio, believing that it was linked to the same way that he would pray and talk to God, that you could pray and use the radio. It was a whole thing. And it was that was a fun episode of Radio Survivor. So
I mean,
so
we've dove
down those paths before.
Yeah, and there's also the belief that, for example, they also call it natural radio, and this it could be said of the communications that we have with animals and how I mean we're totally talking with our animals around us, right? And so sometimes, not even using the words, you exactly know what's happening with your loved fairy. Being same thing happening with plants and same thing happening with insects, which we will be talking about it, but also this instinct that is said that mothers have between the child could also very much be considered as a form of telepathy, really. Yeah. Of this like wireless communication the mother or child might have.
Yeah, and I think since the early days of radio, people have thought about it in those mystical ways. So I think that's really cool that you're addressing that with wireless. And thinking back to that history, I think a lot of people in 2020 don't realize that in the early days of radio, people called it wireless. We think of wireless as such a modern term. I'm curious about some of the segments that are dealing with that deep radio history.
Yeah, 100 years of wireless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which of your contributors are directly addressing that deep history that I love of radio?
Mark Raboy will be directly talking to history of radio. So we're excited to have him on board. He was very excited also to be here.
He's the author of a book called Marconi, The Man Who Networked the World. And it's a great biography about Marconi and is sort of traces that global adventure. And so he's going to kick off our broadcast in a bit of a way.
Yeah, it sounds like Marconi was in Argentina in those early years.
This guy was in everywhere. It is, I mean, I don't know if you had a chance to read this book, Mark, I'm plugging your book, but it is such a great, like, jaunt, I feel like, across the globe. And I mean, part of what we think a lot about, you know, our topics, we always broadcast about migration or transportation or like climate, but it's always about movement. And a lot of the things we take on is this demythification that like global movement is a feature of kind of like 21st century life. People have been moving around from the beginning, and this has been totally accelerated. But it's amazing in the 100 years how mobile somebody like Marconi was, like, totally a globetrotter.
Talking about mobility, Jennifer, and also in this question you asked, like, in terms of history, we also have a really exciting crew that is going to join this broadcast, which is the SAOCOM satellite mission engineers. They are in Cape Canaveral. They are about to launch a satellite. It's the first time that this this platform was not been in, since has not been in use since 1960. So it's also an interesting point that they're going to be launching from this platform. This crew happens to be Argentinian as well, and they're stuck because of the pandemic. So they're like waiting on this launch, and the launch, of course, is going to happen at the same time that we're doing the broadcast. So we got finally a connection with them, and they're going to be joining us. And this is also an interesting point here. They're also going to be talking perhaps to some of these topics of history, because obviously satellite communication has been out there for a very long time. Typically, we don't associate satellite with wireless either, but it's a very also really nice way to go micro, but also go micro, like go really huge at a planetary scale. Like, so we typically also go very into details and very out of scale, giant planet, world, universe. And doing these like zooms in and zooms out.
You are listening to Radio Survivor. Today's episode is a rebroadcast coming to you in the year 2021. It was originally recorded 1 year ago. It's one of our favorite conversations. We're speaking with a radio collective, an artists collective. We're preparing for a 24-hour live broadcast celebrating the 100-year history of wireless communication.
Yeah, and a lot of it also is going to be quite futuristic as well, no? Because, for example, about the history, we do have the people in Croatia that are going to take on radio pedagogy and talking about the importance that radio had played in education. But a really huge inspiration came also to us in thinking about the radio as a future, like the future of it and our future as radio beings. That happened when we did the broadcast Everything Speaking in Berlin 2 years ago, when we specifically did a zoned into the IoT, the Internet of Things, and its connectivity with radio technology. And
we co-hosted and so, with Alexa.
Yeah.
The AI, the Amazon AI.
Yeah.
Yeah. So also this idea of like not only looking at the history of radio, but looking at the future of it. And where are we going with it?
Well, one of the things that I was very excited about, because we were talking with the founders of Radio Espacio Estacion, or Radio EE. The last voice you heard was Augustina Woodgate. We're also joined by Hernan Woodgate and Stephanie Sherman. And they're planning a 24-hour broadcast on August 27th to celebrate the 100 years of wireless. And Hernan, about 10 minutes ago, you just brought up how you had a plan, and then the global lockdown has changed the plan. And I think it's worth talking about right now that it's a very unique moment in history of people talking to each other and radio broadcasting that we're living through. And I wonder if you could talk more about how that's informing the work that you guys have been doing, because you were doing work like this prior to lockdown, and now here you are building this broadcast during lockdown. I wonder what's changing.
It's obviously changing the way that we usually broadcast. What I can see on this broadcast, to me, it's a lot of learning because we never did it this way. So I can tell you the pandemic, it's teaching me a lot of things, and I also want to say that Radio Espacio Estación, it's learning. I always learn so much. Like Agustina was saying, and Stephanie, the topics and the guests and everybody who's gonna come. It's it's something that you cannot miss, and you can listen it for hours, and then you will really learn about a lot of things. Radio Espacio Estación is not only a radio station that will broadcast and entertain. It teaches a lot, so much. Like, the girls do so much research before, and they study, and I personally don't read all of them because I can't keep up with them, but they read and they study and they share, and all the time they are learning, and they are, I don't know how they do it with their heads, because the amount of information that they put in their heads, and then, but the day of the show, they are not the ones talking. Someone else is talking. They have the information. They build it up for the rest to enjoy, to learn, and to, you know, feel comfortable. And it's entertainment, but it's like, it's 24 hours of straight information. Very valuable. Very, very valuable.
Yeah. Well, Stephanie Sherman, how about I pass it to you then? What Hernan just mentioned, that, I mean, you're doing all this research about, and, you know, your topic is everything radio, 100 years of radio. What is something that's happening right now in 2020, especially that, I mean, I'm just thinking about how we're locked inside, the people that are staying inside these days, and yet we're all also connected to each other in a way that's never been possible. Like, if this had been 100 years ago, a lockdown would have been a much more isolated and monk like aesthetic experience, but here we are locked in our homes but also connected to each other in a way that was so unique. I wonder if that's informing this project at all in a way that you can talk about.
I mean, certainly. It's almost like the backbone. I think it's like part of the structure is just to push that experiment as far as we can take it. I mean, so all of our broadcasts are these like giant logistical challenges that we set up for ourselves. So I'll answer both your question and in some ways the one you posed to Hernan as well, which is that, you know, usually the challenge is how do we navigate a city in 24 hours with the right choreography given traffic and the guests and the times that they can meet and their availability and like the unknowns, and we have to eat and we need gas and we need a battery to plug in and our solar powered battery, where will that charge? And it just like goes on and on about like, how is this going to be possible?
And right. Engineering, like facts of engineering, which are very physical and, unmovable, right?
Super tangible, like things, technology, bodies, like other people's schedules, and then like trying to make a coherent story out of that and like on a route that makes sense with a driver that we just met, but we love dearly, and the whole and many kinds of many forms, from boats to 16 person bicycles, to like super absurd logistics, right?
And like a true marathon for all of you physically, having to like be awake and coherent. How is that different this time? Like, are you all going to be awake and with hands on, or are you relying more on your partners?
How can you go to sleep when you know that you only have 24 hours and someone else is broadcasting? You don't want to miss anything. Okay, I'm sleepy. You sleep, and then you're. It's impossible.
That never happens. Right. We never sleep. Yeah. We say we would, but we never do.
We fall asleep maybe on the table for like an hour, for like a little bit, but that's it.
Well, I will say that like so the funny thing is that usually in some ways the program is like the last thing to come together, because also like we show up in a city and we have 3 weeks to like become local essentially and figure out like who's the right person to talk to, and you find one person, then you find another person. We've been there before, but like nobody really pays attention to us until like a month when the clock starts ticking in radio. It's like also this radio time is like if you contact people 3 months out, they're just like, yeah, whatever, like thanks. So there's an energy, but this one, because we're sharing the space with so many radios, the schedule has to be just worked out earlier. So, you know, now we're in hectic mode, like finalizing our schedule, but it's 2 weeks out. And
I'm super happy about that, because that never really happened.
Yeah, but now we're going to pass it to Ernie, and he's going to have to like think about how every single different type of connection that's going to happen, whether we're sharing a stream or multi-streams or like it's over the net. I mean, so it's a different challenge.
Sorry, also, I would like to add that we typically have So we work on grids, on everything goes on the grid. If it's not on the grid, it's not going to happen. And so
that's a spreadsheet to like,
yeah, the coordination that Stephanie's talking about of battery charging, electricity, food, bathroom, guest, it's all tied up to a location. So there are locations assigned to things. This time is attached to a time zone. And so our movement is happening across times. So instead of organizing the guests from a logic of, oh, well, this one is closer to this one and the bathroom is right in the middle, so it's perfect, we are organizing them by who's in the morning, who's at night, well, his night is my night, so that will work out. And it's just like a time zone puzzle, which has been really confusing and super interesting because miraculously, obviously, by miracle, it works out like a glove. It's just perfect how it's all, it's just working out.
And are you moving between the time zones in any specific sort of way? Like, are you going in one particular direction, or is it just sort of all over the map depending on?
I guess it's a combination. It's a combination between the story and how we tell the story, the narrative. But also, we did ask for the radios to like, hey, when is your best time? Because some of these radios are very active radios and they already have programmings, perhaps. So what is your availability that you can come live? So it's between, it's a negotiation between availability, storytelling, and life. Right? Because also we're all stuck at home. And so you might have your kids at that moment, but you might be quiet right now. Or so it's like, it's always a negotiation.
Well, there's also just the flow question and language question. And like, usually we're talking like the whole time. This time we're like, well, you know, we come in for 10 minutes and then we hide away again. So we're like thinking about how we're going to help transition, when we can just let the radios pass it without our intervention at all. So yeah,
that's what I was curious about, because you're talking about segments that, well, I know radio, I know Wavefarm is participating, and their portion seems to be more like radio art, transmission art, but you also seem to have a journalistic kind of approach to a lot of the projects that you do.
And we should let listeners know, Jennifer, that when you mentioned Wavefarm, people who don't know, Wavefarm is a radio station in upstate New York. And so we're talking about the radio broadcast is going to be passed like a baton to individual radio stations around the world during this 24-hour broadcast that Radio EE is planning.
Yeah. And so, And you've been describing a lot of different types of projects that different stations might have different approaches. So I think I'm trying to wrap my head around all of that and what that's going to sound like. Are you envisioning it? Is it all of these things? Is it radio art? Is it journalism? Is it, what is it?
For sure. I think that we always also tend to have like that problematic of defining ourselves, because it's like also is so much about performance. I mean, you know, there's so much of it as well. And in itself, the 24-hour audio piece, it's almost like it's an audio piece in itself. But when we are live, there is something very radiophonic, you know, and very journalistic about it. I do want to mention that, for example, and this is the case for every broadcast we do, is that we do give a lot of freedom to the guests to take on the topic however it resonates better for themselves and for the location. So sure, we do come with an agenda, but this agenda is absolutely flexible and open because, for example, what's happening in Chipre and the way that they are reacting with the explosion that just happened in Lebanon, it's pretty amazing because they heard the explosion from there with a lag, which they are also somehow relating to the lag that internet has in every broadcast. So they're sort of like making this parallel of like the sonic lag in a way. And so how could you say no to something? Like, you know, with the curation is somehow also very measured in the sense of like, of course, if you want to bring that forward and use this channel to to give space to this conversation, yes, these are the times. And so be attentive to being time-specific. As much as we are site-specific, being time-specific.
Augustina, you just mentioned, did you just reference a radio station that was near Beirut or but not in Beirut? Can you tell me more?
Our partners in Chipre.
Where's that?
Chipre is in...
Cyprus.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, see, okay. I'm using the Spanish word.
No, that's good.
he's doing a co-broadcast with a person in Lebanon. The idea is that the person in Lebanon is going to be doing a sound walk through the ruins.
Of the
recent explosion.
A live sound walk, or are they going to record it before? I mean, either way,
it's in the works. Yeah, they're trying to figure out what's the logistics, because also, like Hernan was saying, there's a lot of dreams of what everyone would want to do, but then there's technical limitations. And when I say technicals, it's not about what the equipment people own, but also the capabilities that their locations have in terms of connectivity. Like in the Amazon jungle, it's WhatsApp and that's it. That's the only bandwidth they can access to. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry to interrupt. Could you just explain for some of our listeners who might not know what a sound walk is? We've talked about them on the show and I love them, but yeah, people might not know what it is.
And maybe use the context of doing a sound walk in Beirut. What's it going to be, about 3 weeks? No, now it'll be about a month following the explosion there.
See, it's still on the works, and of course there's a lot of sensitivity around the topic and the connection and how they would do it. Ideally, the partner in Beirut would be walking really across the landscape, and almost as if the landscape is the guest, really, right? It's just like allowing the landscape to come through and not that much of intervention of his voice, but actually allowing the space to speak for itself. It would be very interesting, I think, because the person in Cyprus, it's actually going to be talking about, he fell into this amazing amount of research because of our invitation on the BBC and how they did a massive colonization strategy through establishing a giant antenna in Cyprus to broadcast. But then this radio was co-opted and everything was broadcasted in Arab. So the BBC has no idea what was broadcasted in all these years. This is like early 1940s, 1950s, and these archives are mysteriously gone. There's no way to access them. So he's been kind of like tracing these archives and this story about Arab colonization through radio. And then this happens. So it's sort of like tying a history with a present moment in very interesting ways as well.
That's a very radio survivor. Jennifer and I both want to have that.
I know. I feel like show. Every segment is a potential radio survivor segment. It's like a dream 24 hours for us of all of these little pieces of radio. I'm curious, Hernan and everyone, do you all have radio backgrounds? Did you do radio before radio EE?
I actually was doing radio when Agustina came to Argentina to a show that I was doing with my friend 10 years ago. And once she put the headphones on, she was like, I want to do radio. And she went back to the States, met up with Stefo, and, you know, we started the radio. But I did radio before, actually, right before starting this. But my experience has been Radio EE for the most.
Where did you do radio before? What kind of
Argentina.
Radio station? And what sort of radio station was it?
It was an online radio. I think that was the trick, because, what it was it, 10 years ago?
12, there was no almost, online, like already 13.
12.
Yeah.
There was no, it wasn't popular. There were, but it was no popular. And I was playing with the radio. I was doing 1 hour a week with my friend on this place. And I saw the guy. I always been curious about technicas, and I was always, you know, it was always easy for me. So I just learned how to do it and brought it over here. And Agustina and Stephanie were always curious about using empty space or a new space. Agustina's art, I think, the most is with recycled materials, and like she's always. My background is not on art, but Agustina's always thinking, you know, conceptual, blah blah blah. And she was like, oh, there's air here and we can use this air. It's unused. How can we use it, you know? And then I was and Steph, you know, the minds, they worked something together and they were like, hey, Hernan, we don't know. We have an idea, but we don't know how to make it happen. So that was it. They flew me over from Argentina to North Carolina.
Oh, yeah. We need to know more about this because I was reading you have an art space in a former thrift store where some of these, where one of the broadcasts happened in, and
there are just
a lot of cool details about that. So yeah, tell us more about this.
Agustine and I met in 2007 at this place called Elsewhere, which I started in 2003. And it's a 3-story former thrift store in downtown Greensboro, and it hosts artist residencies in this like giant world of things that this woman collected over 58 years, and now nothing's for sale. And so artists come and make stuff. And we, you know, I had been there for like 4 years, and all of a sudden, like, this amazing person came, and we were like just freaking out about everything and having a great time, and sort of knew we would be collaborators for life. And I guess 2 years later, we were at the time, what was, so I come from a background in English literature and storytelling, and was like really loved hanging out with Agustina and talking to her, because also her English was a lot worse back then. And so the number of mistakes in every sentence was like really, really high. And they were all such beautiful, poetic mistakes. Like, it was a whole new way of encountering language. And I'm also like a terrible language learner, horrible. It's like been, you know, I was traumatized by a French teacher. It'll never get a recover. Like, it's just, I'm really, really bad. And so I thought, like, well, maybe like this could be a way to like access language learning in a totally other way. And at minimum, get comfortable not understanding or like appreciating the poetics of language in another kind of way. And like, the intonations, what you can understand from intonation. So anyway, August, do you want to take up this story from...
No,
from,
that's the exactly...
The comeback,
yeah,
from the front window.
Yeah, totally. This is exactly the thing. So we wrote a grant. I've always wanted it to be a pirate. And so running a radio seemed like the obvious way to do so. And so here we are, we met. Hernan was doing radio in Buenos Aires. I want to be a pirate, and Stephanie's finding poetry in the way I speak. Perfect. That's a great radio combo. And so we wrote a grant, and supposedly this grant was to run a radio station for 1 month from Greensboro, and since Greensboro, so from this residency program, which considers everything, nothing is discarded, blah blah. So it was perfect because, like, oh great, let's use the airwaves, let's think about how available they are and how underlooked, no one pays attention. We could all be doing radio, but no one's doing it. As Hernan said, also back then people were still asking us, but where can we listen Radio EE? And we're like, in radioe.net. yeah, but where? Like, not putting together website with an audio component. The internet was meant for Google search. I don't know, but there was a sort of like a non-association with that, which at the moment we got frustrated. Today we think about it as like, whoa, we were really into something back then. But so we set up to do a 1 month long of 6 hours a day of radio transmission, and we have never done radio before in our lives. Of course, it was amazing and a disaster because we never realized also the amount of programming that comes behind it. And we were all concerned about the technicals and what gets plugged into where. And then we were realizing, like, okay, but we're not going to talk about it. What are we going to talk about for so many hours, for so many days? And so that was a huge lesson. But for us, in our heads, it was a 1 month long of bilingual radio. And we had said bilingual then. Entonces era mitad español, mitad inglés, y así lo hacíamos y tal. Okay,
finish, 1 month is over, and Radio Espacio was done. 1 year later, amazing organization that we really love, actually, from Berlin, called Kunstwerk KW, reaches out, not to any single personal emails to us, but actually to the radio email, inviting the radio to broadcast a conference that they were doing. The conference was called Voicing Responsibility, and they were inviting us because of our bilingual mode. We thought bilingual for us at that moment was Spanish-English. But they,
it was the only way to communicate between each other, because if Stephanie was saying Agustina's English was bad, mine, I couldn't speak a word. So I was a Spanish guy and Agustina was talking to me in English. That was it.
You totally. But the Germans took it totally on their way, and they're like, oh, great, bilingual, English-German. And we're like, oh. And that was, because of that invitation, was the first time that our own concept became our own challenge. Because it's like, okay, but we don't speak German. Because before, we were bilingual in Spanish-English, we could handle it. Now we are bilingual in German-English. How do we go about this? And the woman who invited us was like, well, of course, right? You're running a radio station. She never even realized a radio station was a project. For her, a radio station was a channel. So it was also through these sort of like invitations and very intuitive decisions we took very early on that started it, that end up where we are today, really. And solidifying it and actually pushing the boundaries. I think that in this case, this broadcast is really pushing the multilinguality in different layers of all sorts. Yeah.
Yeah, how do you even manage that with so many languages? You know, like you're talking about, in the beginning, it's really just a matter of who you are and what you speak. But now taking on a project with all these languages.
But I don't think we care to manage, Jennifer. I don't think it's not about managing. I mean, truly, sometimes we have no idea what's going on in our own radio. And the point is not to manage it. The point is to let go. It's totally the opposite.
Well, that's the voice of Agustina Woodgate. We're also joined by Hernan Woodgate and Stephanie Sherman. They are the Radio Espacio Estacion, or Radio EE, a collective of radio artists who are working on a 24-hour broadcast for August 27th, 2020, called Wireless, that will be broadcast around the world on different radio stations on that date. This is Radio Survivor. My name is Eric Klein. With me is Jennifer Waits. And I want to ask Stephanie Sherman, as we're rounding out our hour-long conversation for the radio audience, to tell us, what is the story of your broadcast? You said you're a story person. So what is the story of the upcoming 24-hour broadcast as you could tell it to us today on Radio Survivor?
Okay, well, we're here now after 100 years of planetary wireless communication and entertainment. And I think we're taking a look at the planet and how connected we all are vis-a-vis this wireless communication. And, you know, we've been talking about how Radio EE's work has been making a sonic portrait of a place in time. But I think it's almost like making a sonic portrait of radio on the planet in this specific pandemic moment, and thinking about how far we've come and how we haven't come very far at all.
Well, Stephanie Sherman, Hernan Woodgate, and Agustina Woodgate, thank you so much for joining us today on Radio Survivor. I hope you can stay with us for the podcast where we can talk some more, but that's it for today on the radio show.
Thank you. Thank you for having us, Eric and Jennifer.
Thank you. Thanks for everything.
We here at Radio Survivor would once again love to extend our greatest thanks to the members of the RadioEE.net collective, our new friends in radio. That was a wonderful conversation, you know, bridging so many concepts and ideas that are dear to us here at Radio Survivor, of international voices and community radio and technology and history of radio, all of those things. Our conversation with these folks went on for another half an hour or so. Here's a clip, actually, of something else we got into as we got into the weeds. Agustina talking about people making radio in Mexico that they have recently met through their work.
Bueno, the chicos from Radio Nopal in Mexico, mind-blowing the kind of radio they're doing. So what they're going to be doing is they're going to bring, they have 88 members to this community. All of them are running radio through a Raspberry Pi attached to a tiny mini screen. And this little setup is like mega, mega mobile. It's called Mensajito. And so what they're doing is they are going to be inviting open for 1 hour to all these community people that have Mensajito with them to broadcast in this 1 hour slot that they're getting in wireless. And so that's the way that they do radio, is like through this like super decentralized self-design. They've also designed the server for it. Here we are like talking with people that are just doing radio from scratch, really, because the Raspberry Pi is just like plainly with nothing, with an operation system not even an operation system. So these people have actually built their radio from scratch, and they're gonna come to talk. I believe that each one of them, their cue is to talk about the first time they ever transmitted it.
So again, that's Augustina Woodgate talking to us in the podcast version of today's episode of Radio Survivor. You're listening on the radio, and we have to end because of the tyranny of the clock. We love the tyranny of the clock here at Radio Survivor. We live with it our whole lives. But on the internet, we chat a little more freely, and we go on a little longer. So if you're interested in listening to an extended conversation with the members of the RadioEE.net collective about their work, go check us out on the podcast. RadioSurvivor.com is our website, where you can find links to today's show notes if you're interested in listening to the August 27th broadcast that we've been talking about today. If you want to hear past episodes of the show, of course, you can always find Radio Survivor wherever you get your podcasts, anywhere on the internet, as well as on our website, RadioSurvivor.com. You can email our group of individuals who produce this show. We'd love to hear from you. podcast@radiosurvivor.com is where you can reach us. On behalf of Jennifer Waits, who produced today's episode, my name is Eric Klein. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week. I hope you're all well. And one more time for the radio audience, that episode of Radio Survivor that we just aired was originally recorded on August 18th, 2020, just about 1 year ago. And we were talking about a forthcoming 24-hour live radio broadcast, which took place on August 27th, 2020. But one of our favorite conversations, you know, spanning so many of our favorite concepts and ideas here at Radio Survivor, the things that we love about radio, the bringing together of voices and minds and languages and ideas, really encompassed in that interview. If you'd like to hear the original broadcast, the original longer version of the web edit of that episode, you can go to the website, radiosurvivor.com. The show notes for today's episode, there's a link backwards into the past. Radio Survivor is a listener and reader-supported enterprise. To find out more, you can go to our website, radiosurvivor.com/support. On behalf of Jennifer Waits, Paul Reese-Mandel, my name is Eric Klein. And again, thank you so much for listening. We'll be here next week with more from the world of community radio, college radio, low-power FM radio, the history of broadcasting, transmission arts, and the vast world of sound work that we're all so enthusiastic about.